I think at the end of the day, what a classical education is training a student to do is to think and to learn.
Welcome to the Christy Faith Show, where we share game-changing ideas with intentional parents like you. I'm your host, Christy Faith, experienced educational advisor and homeschool enthusiast. Together, we'll explore ways to enrich and transform both your life and the lives of your children.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Christy Faith Show. Let me tell you, we have Amanda Reeves on today. We had her in Thrive Homeschool Community on a homeschool panel last year, and by far, I kid you not, she is my most requested person to come back to the community. And I was thinking, why just keep her close to the vest? I think the whole world needs to know about Amanda Reeves. I'm going to introduce her very quickly, and we are going to dive right in. Amanda Reeves is a homeschooled adult herself. She holds a BA in Latin and Greek from Stanford University, where she discovered her passion for classical languages after years of detesting them. In her 10 plus years as an educator, she fiercely held the belief that every student can fall in love with Latin and has celebrated each of the times this has happened in her classroom. As a homeschool graduate herself and dean of the lower school at Scholae Academy, which is an online school designed with homeschoolers in mind, she supports teachers as they develop classrooms and curricula to help elementary age students cultivate a love of learning in their pursuit of restful classical education. Welcome to the show, Amanda. I know what everyone is going to wonder first. Tell us about your homeschooled experience. What is your homeschool story? Because it is pretty unique and inspiring.
So I was homeschooled starting in kindergarten through my high school graduation before heading on to Stanford. My parents were kind of accidental homeschoolers. They didn't have this long-term plan of homeschooling us. But what happened is my older sister, when she was, I think, 3 or 4 years old, she started reading. And my parents thought, my goodness, if she's already reading at such a young age, we need to get her into schools. And then on top of it, my sister, being the dramatic one that she is, she would start sobbing every time they drove past a school because she just wanted to go to school so badly. So my dad, being kind of a, this is a bunch of nonsense sort of personality, decided that he would get her tested early to enter kindergarten when she was 4. And she did super well on the test. She seemed academically ready, but she couldn't remember her phone number. So they decided, she doesn't know her phone number. She's not ready to start kindergarten just yet. And my dad, again, leaning on that, this is a bunch of nonsense personality, said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to homeschool her for a year, and then we'll put her in as a transfer student the following year. After just a year, they started looking at what she was able to do and what her trajectory was in her education and realized that they were really going to be doing her a great disservice by putting her into the public school. So that started our homeschooling journey. So for the first few years, we just kind of did homeschool in a box. You order a curriculum and all of your books come. And then it was about, oh, I would say 3 or 4 years into it, my dad started doing a lot of reading about classical education. He realized that that's really what he wanted for my sister and I, that level of thought and rigor, but also just delight in contemplating the great ideas of history was really what he was looking for in our education. So then in third grade, we switched over to a classical model, and that's what I did until I graduated.
And he got a hold of one of those very famous books that transforms a lot of people. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my parents have a well-loved, dog-eared, highlighted, underlined, color-coded copy of The Well-Trained Mind that was kind of the motherboard, if you will, for my education. That's really what they used as our launching point for everything that we were doing. And then they built off of that, and I'm sure read a lot of other books to accompany it, did a lot of reading online and whatnot. But that was definitely the foundation that they built our education upon.
Your situation is unique because the majority of families in America who homeschooled, it's primarily homeschooled by the mother. I think that's changing, at least in our family. Scott and I very much share the responsibilities because we both work full time. But in your situation, I would assume that your dad was pretty brave because he was the primary homeschooler for you and your sister. What was that like? And did he struggle to find a place in community being the dude, the homeschooling dude?
Definitely. 100%. He loves to tell this story of pretty early on in our homeschooling journey when he decided that he would take us to a local co-op because that's what homeschoolers did. And he thought, well, I don't want my children to miss out. So he took us to a co-op, and he was the only dad there. which I think it was at that time normal. And mm-hmm. all of the moms decided to spend their time while their children were off doing their work sharing traumatic birth stories. And my dad never took us back. He said, you know what? I think I've had my fill of this. I think we're going to do this our own way. He certainly was unusual, especially at that time for being the primary homeschooling parent. When I think about it, it's hard to imagine what my education would have been like if my mom had been the one to homeschool. Not because she wouldn't have been perfectly capable of doing it herself, but I think that for my education to look the way that it did, we really needed my dad's stubbornness, especially thinking about how uncommon classical education was when we were homeschooling. There were a lot of people who thought that what we were doing was quite strange, even inside of the homeschooling community. And the fact that my dad was so stubborn and so willing to just hang tight onto something that he knew was going to turn out well for us and was going to be what was best for us, I think made our education what it was.
Amanda, what I want to know from you is, given that your dad was a pioneer really before the classical movement became somewhat trendy and popular, and I am part of that movement, I was definitely sold on the classical model. That was my gateway drug into homeschooling. It was very attractive to me for that academic piece. When you and your sister were going along doing this weird type of education and saying, Dad, why are we doing this? Why do I have to read the Odyssey? Did he have messaging that he shared with you so that you had a buy-in?
That's a really good question. There were a couple of things that I remember. I mean, for one, my dad's personality, again, is just very much one of, this is good for you, so you're going to do it. And that was sufficient for my sister and I. But I also remember one of the things that he always put in front of us, which he would always say, you can get a great education wherever you are, using whatever resources, whatever you're doing. You'll just have to work for it harder in some places than in others. With the implication then being that he was really trying to say, I'm giving you what I believe is going to be the easiest way of you getting a great education. And if I thought that there was something better, I would give you something better. But he also made it clear that, you know, we might have to work for it a little bit even still. So those were some of the things that I remember sticking out to me when he was encouraging us to buy into the educational model that he had selected.
I find that a piece of wisdom just for me and all those new homeschoolers out there who are listening, that there are multiple ways to get an absolutely beautiful education. And I think that what your dad realized through his reading and research, and what we know now, is that an education is the cultivation of a human being. It's not buckets and buckets, right? The ancients said this, the igniting of a fire, right? We actually don't know who actually said that. Don't you think that that piece of wisdom gives a mama peace to know, hey, I'm not going to get this perfect. I'm not going to get everything right, but this is what I believe in my heart to be the best path. And ultimately, there are many ways to achieve the end of what we would call a beautiful education. Would you agree with that?
100%. I think my parents would be quick to say that they made a lot of mistakes along the way. They didn't do everything perfectly. And there were a lot of things that I'm sure even if they could go back and do it again, they probably would have done it differently. And yet, at the end of it all, I think that we can all agree that both my sister and I got a world-class education, even if they felt like they were stumbling blindly in the dark to figure out how to get us there. And they're as confident as I am that they could have taken any number of other paths and arrived at the same end or arrived at a different end that would have been just as good.
There are a lot of parents who love the classical framework and want to follow it. Is there one overall recommendation that you would give to parents who are interested in the classical model?
Yeah, if I were to make a recommendation for parents who are interested in the classical model, I think for one, I would just say, don't be afraid, even if it looks entirely different from the education that you yourself received. I think that by nature of classical education only coming back into popularity in the last decade or two, we're only now getting to a point where homeschooling parents are sometimes graduates of that sort of an education themselves. But I think many homeschooling parents are still finding that the classical education model looks entirely different from the education that they received. I know that my parents experienced that. And I think that that made classical education more intimidating than it needs to be. But I think that there's been a lot of parents over the years who have been able to provide their student with an education inside of the classical education model that really is different from their own, but what they would want their child to have. So I would say, don't be intimidated, even if it looks different. And the other thing that I would say is, be wise as you're considering different programs, because I think that a lot of programs have a tendency to use the term classical in a way that perhaps is not actually true to what classical education is, as an education that's founded upon the seven liberal arts and who really strives to put truth, goodness, and beauty in front of a student and enable them to think critically about the world of the past and the world as they see it today. So just because something says that it's classical does not necessarily mean that it's classical. So keep your eyes open and be wise about the decisions that you're making, recognizing that if your student has truth, goodness, and beauty in front of them, they will learn to love the things that they're studying.
Before we continue, I want to share with you a program that has been a game changer for our family. At our Learning Center, we instructed and helped kids through pretty much every program on the market. So we know firsthand just how important a solid math foundation is for our kids' futures. Finding the right homeschool math curriculum that didn't compromise academic excellence, but also didn't put me and my kids through the ringer was a challenge. Until one day, I found CTC Math. You guys, the rest was history. First off, it's a mastery-based program, which means your child gets a full grasp of the material. It's also loaded with mixed reviews, ensuring your kids don't forget anything they've learned. The questions are adaptive too, which keeps students confident and progressing at their own pace. But the best part, all the teaching, grading, and testing, done for you. With CTC Math, there is no compromise on excellence. Your child gets a top-notch education, and you just made your homeschool life easier. Visit CTC Math to get your free trial today. Whether you're newer to homeschooling or you've been homeschooling over a decade, the fact is creating a streamlined, successful homeschool is hard. The pressure is high, and the weight of responsibility often leads to self-doubt, second-guessing, and feeling completely overwhelmed with the excessive amounts of opinions and curricula options out there. We love our kids, and at the same time, the stakes are high. We don't want to mess this up. So how do we build a homeschool that our kids will thank us for when they're adults, and one that you have 100% confidence in? The first step to pulling all of that off is joining Thrive Homeschool Community. Thrive Homeschool Community is where you learn the 8-step homeschool success framework to build an undeniably successful homeschool. Each year and each kid presents us with uncharted territory. But when you have a good plan, the right plan, you can rest in the security and confidence that you are doing a great job. The path is easy. Join Thrive, say a quick hello to your new friends, start the 8-step homeschool success framework, and kiss anxiety goodbye. It's risk-free, no contracts. You can cancel anytime, no questions asked. Go to christy-faith.com. That's christy-faith.com. Enter promo code podcast for $10 off your first month. See you inside.
That's wonderful. And what does that mean? I wanted to ask you in your own words, you touched on it, but I would love a more robust explanation for the parents listening who maybe, you know, there are 9 different homeschooling styles. I have a 5-minute free homeschool style finder on my website that helps, it narrows it down for you to figure out like what is really in your heart. And I would love for you to explain in layman's terms, because the classical movement is pretty intellectual. The thought leaders. I remember going to my very first homeschooling conference and thinking, well, it's pretty clear that the smartest people here are the classical people. So I think I'll look into classical education further. But it took me like probably 2 years to actually wrap my brain around what it is. And I know it's hard to do, but I would like you to try.
Well, I'll do the best that I can. So classical education is really trying to return education to what it once was, where students were engaging deeply with the great ideas of history and literature and philosophy, theology, math, the sciences, both natural and otherwise, as well as studying logic and rhetoric, Latin and Greek many times, understanding the mechanics of how the world works. It's many times also kind of centered around what we call the trivium, the three ways of education, and it's designed around different steps that are developmentally appropriate for students. So there's the grammar stage where there's a lot of learning of mechanics. There's a lot of learning that happens through song, a lot of repetition and memorization, while at the same time integrating play and joyfulness into studies. Then you move into the logic stage, where students begin to think a little bit more critically about the things that they're reading, and they begin to ask more questions about the things that they are learning and the things that they're seeing in the world around them, with it then leading into the rhetoric stage, where they are trained and able to express their own ideas and to look critically at ideas and compare and contrast them with each other. So that's kind of a basic framework of it. Really, I would say that at the core of classical education is the idea that students are perfectly capable at looking at the thoughts and the ideas of the greatest thinkers of history. And they're able to evaluate the claims that they see. They're able to converse with those ancient texts, and they're able to come to a deeper understanding of the world as they see it through it.
And how does that so high level, and that was a great explanation, by the way, I love it.
Thank you.
I could see a lot of parents listening to this right now and saying, all right, well, how is this going to prepare my kid to be an architect or a nurse? Like, how does this, because ultimately, I think that, well, we know the studies show that people homeschool for first for environmental reasons, but also academically. And I think part of that is our culture is obsessed with vocation. And this is something too, that if you're listening to this, and if you are of the mindset right now, I lovingly want to nudge you in a different direction. If you are a person listening to this right now, and this is the first time you're hearing that perhaps an education is more than vocation training, I want you to listen up, because that's kind of what we're getting at here. And I would love for you to talk about you getting into Stanford University and what your experience was entering that high academic environment, being completely differently educated than most of your peers there. But first, I want to ask you, how does a classical education prepare a child practically for their life?
I think at the end of the day, what a classical education is training a student to do is to think and to learn. And whatever subject is then put in front of them, they're going to be able to take those tools and those skills to it. So you can take that certainly to a rigorous study of Latin and Greek. You can take that to a study of rhetoric and the art of persuasion, but you can just as easily take that to baking or learning a language, or learning how to repair a car, learning how to build a business, learning how to do X, Y, or Z thing, whatever it is. The tools that you're given with a classical education are not merely a bunch of high and lofty ivory tower sorts of big brain ideas. Instead, you're learning how to take a subject, break it into parts. You're understanding how to understand the individual parts, but then you're understanding how to integrate them back together and to see how you can then use the thing that you've built as a whole to move you forward in your life. And that's a tool and a skill that's going to serve you whatever industry you find yourself in, wherever life leads you. It's going to be an education that will take you wherever you need to go.
I absolutely love that. And I have a confession. Before my deconstruction, we made our living off of the system, both public and private. We owned a private learning center and consulting firm, helped thousands of students and families. We were running a homeschool. And I remember sitting in, and I don't remember which speaker it was. It's usually like kind of the same people who go to the conferences to talk about classical education. But those of you who know me now, you'll know, of course, Christy, you did this. I stomped up afterwards. I wish I could remember who it was. I don't know. But I said, my kid's grandmother is Latina. Why on earth would I have them learn Latin? And I'm from California. Don't you think they should be learning Spanish? I don't see the practicality of learning Latin. And I wasn't disrespectful, but that was where I was mentally. Mm-hmm. And I would love, because I don't know, we didn't introduce yet that you are a Latin teacher, but mm-hmm. I would love to hear the perspective of the value of learning a language, a dead language such as Latin.
Oh, my favorite question.
I love it. You got to answer it every time, girl.
The show will resume in just a minute, but first I want to share with you an incredible resource that is totally free to homeschooling families everywhere. Have you ever felt like you were on trial for your homeschooling choice when visiting a doctor or another service provider? It's unsettling, especially when someone misinformed has the power to threaten your family. Unfortunately, we have heard countless stories of parents who have felt trapped in offices and met with suspicion rather than support simply because they were homeschoolers. I've been profiled and interrogated myself, and I'm sure many of you have as well. Enough is enough. It's time we proactively actively vet service providers before giving them our business and our money. Enter Christy Faith's List, a directory 100% free to homeschooling families, connecting you with homeschool-friendly service providers who promise to support you in your homeschooling choice. We want every homeschooler in America to know about and be using this list. So here's how to make Christy Faith's List a household name. One, tell all your friends about it. Let's show the market just how powerful the homeschool movement is. Number two, check Christy Faith's List website before stepping foot into any service provider's office to make sure they are on there. And number three, if your favorite service provider isn't on the list, make sure to refer them. There's a button on the homepage of the website. It takes only 30 seconds, and that way we can send them a lovely invite. If you're listening and you are a homeschool-friendly professional, we want you on the list. We're eager to connect homeschooling families with you, shout your name from the rooftops, and bring you tons and tons of business. We have plans for every type of business, both small, local, nationwide, and worldwide. Check out ChristyFaithsList.com today. Hi, Mama. If you like my social media content and my show, I'm pretty sure you will love my book, Homeschool Rising, Shattering Myths, Finding Courage, and Opting Out of the School System. My book is for homeschool parents, both veteran and new, and the perfect book to hand any homeschool skeptics in your life so they can better understand why you've chosen this amazing lifestyle. This book will challenge you, empower you, encourage you, and give you solid, mindful answers to all those questions you get about your homeschooling choice. Grab your copy and maybe an extra one for your mother-in-law today. Homeschool Rising is available wherever books are sold.
I do. One of these days, I'm just going to have my answer so memorized, so elevator pitchy that I can just drop it at if you were to wake me up in the middle of the night and give it. Goodness. No, I think that there's immense value in learning what some would consider to be a dead language. And I think in my own experience, one of the beautiful things that I've noticed is the efficiency of learning Latin first. You were mentioning, you know, shouldn't my students be learning Spanish? Well, the fun thing about learning Latin is as you're learning Latin, you actually are also learning Spanish and Italian and French and Portuguese and Romanian and all of these languages that are built off of it. I had the really fun experience of having studied Latin for many years myself, showing up in my first semester of Italian in college, because I decided I was going to be moving to Italy after university, so I should probably study Italian. And my teacher thought that I was unusually advanced for Italian because I knew so many different words that had not been taught in our textbook. She just thought I had kind of an unusual pronunciation, but what she realized really quickly was I was actually just using the Latin word whenever I wasn't quite sure what the Italian word was. I just see how it went, and more times than not, it would work. So there is the benefit of studying Latin as it relates to making every other language you're ever going to study easier. But also, I think that what Latin does is it trains you how to approach a language, and it trains you to think about a language systematically, while at the same time enabling you to read beautiful works of literature and poetry and theater and political thought and philosophy and all of these other sorts of things. So all of the tools that you're going to learn with Latin are going to apply to other languages. But at the same time, learning Latin gets you halfway to learning a lot of other languages.
Right. And don't you think there's a strength too in the logical reasoning? I have heard 100%. That too about Latin.
It's very orderly. And once you understand a rule, you can see how it applies in a slew of different situations, which then you're able to look at something new and unfamiliar and see the patterns and start to figure out some of the rules for yourself, which I think trains your brain to figure out how a language works, even independent of more formal instruction with it.
Yeah. If you're enjoying the show and you don't want to miss out on future episodes, hit that like and subscribe button and show us some love with your comments. Those 5-star reviews really do make a difference.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's something that is important in terms of when we talk about cultivating a human being. Some things, like for example, having your kids learning an instrument and being able to read music, they've done studies on what that does to right brain, left brain. It's not just for being able to be in a band later. It actually is extremely beneficial for the growth of the mind. And I think that there's
absolutely
that piece to learning Latin as well. I know the audience is dying to hear about why Stanford? How did you get in as a homeschooler who didn't learn anything and who's not socialized? And what was your experience getting there and being there your very first year?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. So kind of something that's unusual, maybe, is when my parents first started homeschooling. Well, this isn't the unusual part. I mean, what homeschooler has not heard this? But when they first started homeschooling, the question on everybody's mind was, but how will your daughters ever go to college? However, will they be able to leave the nest at the end of the day? That, I think my poor parents probably heard that question 40 times every time they left their house practically. But my dad, as he was doing research about homeschooling and making some of those decisions for our family, he read about how Stanford University, of all places, was actively recruiting homeschoolers at that time because they really valued independent thought at their institution. And they were noticing that it was the homeschoolers who were coming in with the ability to learn and the independent thought that was required to thrive in an intellectually vibrant environment. So they actually started recruiting homeschoolers. So my dad read about this and, again, kind of going to his, this is a bunch of nonsense sort of personality. Whenever anybody asked him, oh, but however will your daughters go to university? He would always respond just the most deadpan face that he could. He would say, oh, our girls not only will go to university, they're going to go to Stanford. And then he would tell them about it. So I heard this from a very, very young age. And I said from, I don't know, the tender age of 6 or 7, oh, I'm going to go to Stanford someday. And ironically, that's how it ended up turning out. I ended up applying to a lot of countries all across the country. But Stanford was always the one that I wanted. And thankfully, that's where I ended up getting in. So yeah, it was a process to get there. Actually, the first time that I had ever written an essay was my application essay to Stanford. But it turned out well. They had a lot of questions along the way in the application process because I had taken so many classes at home and then some online and then some in local schools and then some here, some there. So they were a little bit confused about, you know, where I went to school. But with a little bit of extra clarification, they were perfectly happy with the situation and they were apparently happy to welcome me into the school.
And when you got there, what was it like? Were there any, I have heard from homeschoolers that there were some bumps in the road in their first year, especially in generations past. I think that the landscape of homeschooling has changed so much where socialization, I mean, we're, if anything, we're over socialized. I'm exhausted from my kids' social activities. And I think a lot of parents listening, but I do think that you grew up in a different generation where your homeschooled experience was, you probably had seasons where you weren't in stuff and then seasons where you were. I want to hear both. And I want you to answer both of these questions. First, what was it like academically entering Stanford? How did you view yourself compared to the other students there? And then after that, I want to talk about your social experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. So academically, I think that I went into Stanford knowing that I was well prepared, and that was pretty quickly confirmed upon arriving there. I remember in particular, there was an advanced chemistry class that I was taking my very first quarter there at Stanford. And we showed up the very first day of class and they said, all right, welcome to Chem 31X. Your first test is in 1 week. We will not be teaching you any of the material on the test. And they just kind of left it at that. And of course, you have this room full of freshman students in their very first week at college, just eyes wide open, absolutely shocked that such a thing could possibly happen. And, you know, to their credit, I think most, at least many of them, rose to the occasion admirably. I'm sure some of them just dropped the class right then and there. But I think that I realized really quickly that I didn't have a challenge to rise to because I had always been expected to learn the material myself. My education had been one in which my parents found the best resources they could. They put it in front of me with a goal in mind and they told me to learn the material. So when a college professor was asking me to do the same thing, it just felt like what I was used to. So that was one experience. I remember another one where I did an intro philosophy class that actually was one of the ones that inspired me then to end up majoring in Latin and Greek. And we were reading all of these great texts. I think we read Augustine's Confessions. We read Aristophanes' Birds. We read Plato's Euthyphro, one of the Platonic dialogues. And they were all books that I had already read before. I remember actually signing up for that class because I thought it would be a really easy way to meet some of the requirements because all of the material was already familiar to me. And then I actually ended up having a really rich and vibrant reintroduction to a lot of those texts. I just remember in each of my different classes realizing that I know how to learn. I know how to study this material. So even if there's material that's particularly challenging, I have all the tools that I need to approach it. So academically, I found it to be a very easy transition. And that's not to say that there weren't classes that really gave me a run for my my money. I remember taking one of my beginning calculus classes and just thinking, oh, this is not my cup of tea. This is going to take a little bit of extra effort. So I think that like with any student, certainly there were challenges. And I don't mean to suggest by any means that it was all easy breezy lemon squeezy going to Stanford. But I had the tools and the equipment that I needed in order to approach it with some degree of grace and ease. Socially, I think, I mean, going to college is going to be an adjustment for anybody. I don't know that anybody arrives in their freshman dorm and is just perfectly prepared with everything that they need, because at the end of the day, that's a huge transition point in a child's life, regardless of what they are transitioning from. But I found that I had a really positive experience. I really quickly found a whole bunch of friends that I really enjoyed and are still my friends to this day. And generally speaking, as I was interacting with people in my dorm and sharing some of our lives before college and all of that, I just found that they had a lot of curiosity simply because my life had looked a fair bit different from theirs. But I think everybody was so intrigued about that and was so interested in how I became the person that I was that I didn't feel any sort of negative social interactions or any sort of disparagement coming from my peers. I really felt like they were curious and interested and more than willing to just welcome me into the fold with open arms.
Thanks for joining us for part one. We hope you gained some valuable insights. Be sure to catch part two, where we're going to continue this great conversation. My heart.